Where do we go?
This is Buccaneers Total Access, with head coach Dirk Cotter.
Fire the cannons!
Brought to you by Frontier Communications. Fios keeps you in the game. Visit FrontierFlorida.com to join the team.
Winston looking left, goes a deep route toward Mike Evans. He hangs on, touchdown Tampa Bay! Mike Evans goes up and takes it away from two defenders. What a great throw by Winston!
Now your host, Bucs insider Casey Phillips, and head coach Dirk Cotter.
Welcome in to Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cotter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. Thanks to all of you for joining us today, and we know we always want to give you the chance to ask everything that's been on your mind to head coach Dirk Cotter. This is an awesome opportunity. We give you a million ways you can submit those questions. You can tweet them to us. Use that hashtag, BucsRadio. You can also submit them in the Bucs app under the features section. You can also call in. Here are your numbers. Hillsborough County, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll free 888-546-4620. Coach, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, Casey, how we doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. Congratulations on the win this week. I know it's got to have been a fun week for you guys.
Well, one down, one to go.
One down, one to go. Always that next game up mentality. I love that. All right, we're going to get right into the fan questions here. We've got a lot to them already. I love this. We have somebody from Japan asking a question, which is awesome. He says his name is Corey from Japan. Just wanted to say, great win last week against the Bears. How do you feel going up against Dalvin Cook this week? Can't wait to hopefully watch the game and go Bucks.
Yeah, well, we know that. The Vikings are a huge challenge, and Dalvin Cook is a big part of that. I mean, he's a very talented running back, can do it all. He can run with power, run with speed, catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's proven it these first 2 weeks. He's off to a great start. So that will certainly be one of the main focuses of our defense is to try to contain Dalvin Cook.
And we had Nick ask us, Coach, low penalties this last week was awesome. Is it still a concerted effort and daily reminder that you guys give to the players to make sure they stay down?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Penalty-free football. We try to – our goal is to stay under six penalties a game. We had four last week. We actually took the biggest jump of any team in the NFL last year. Now, the year before, we were last in the league, and we jumped it up to 18th, so kind of in the middle of the pack. And we'd love to be a top five team in penalties. Those kill you, and they always seem to come at the wrong time. We did a really nice job of that last week.
And Willie wants to know, do you think your depth throughout the team is being underestimated?
Do I think it's underestimated? Well, that's a hard question to answer because, you know, you're really never sure about your depth until it's tested. And we were tested a little bit last week at the linebacker position. You know, Quan's hamstring tightened up and Levante David got a cramp. So Kendall Beckwith had to go in and Darius Glanton had to go in and they did a nice job. But every team in the NFL, you know, has a few positions that they feel like they have really good depth and a couple other positions that they're kind of hanging on. And we're the same way. And, you know, you're hoping that you can get through, but this is a violent game played by exceptional world-class athletes. And, you know, unfortunately, injuries are going to be part of it.
And Nolan wants to know, what was your biggest influence to start coaching as a career?
Oh, that's the easiest question we'll have all day. That's my father. I grew up the son of a high school coach and loved every second of it. It was a fantastic way to grow up as a kid. I used to beg my mom to take me up to the high school every day when I got out of school. Of course, I had my paper route. I had to get that paper route in first. But I was dying to get up there. And my dad was the head football coach, head track coach, assistant basketball coach. So I was around all of them and loved every second of it.
Nolan had also asked what position you played growing up.
I was a quarterback, not a great one, but I was a quarterback.
Is this how you got the paper route, that arm? That was where you got your practice in there?
Yeah, those were more like frisbee touches, the flips off your bike with the old canvas paper bags around your handlebars and flipping them as you went by.
I love it. Tyson says, do you see O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin playing bigger roles in the receiving side of things as the season progresses?
Well, you never know. I mean, you never know about that. I mean, there's only one football. And, you know, I think Mike Evans had double digit in targets last week, and I think Deshaun had 7 targets. O.J., we tried to go to him the very first play of the game, and the ball got tipped. I know he only ended up with 1 catch. You know, you got Cameron Brate, you got your screens, you know, you're going to throw some balls to your backs. You know, 64 plays is the average play count for an offensive game. And if you run the ball 30 of those 64 times, you got a better chance to win. So that leaves 34 passes. Some of them are going to be incomplete. There's just, you know, it's not like every guy is going to get 10 catches every week. It's just unrealistic to think that way. But we're really, really excited and happy with OJ and Chris on the offensive side. And, you know, on any given week, they could be the guy that has a huge day.
All right, we got our first call-in of the evening. Craig from Clearwater has a question about linebacker depth. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good, Craig.
Hey, good. Good. Hey, I have a strategic question for you. If all the players on your team were eligible bachelors and you had a daughter that was a...
Oh, and his call dropped. I feel like I know where that was going. Sounded like he was about to ask which player you would trust to date a daughter.
Yeah, well, I guess since we dropped the call, maybe we better just decline that one.
You know, Coach, was this you sabotaging that call? Is that what I'm hearing here? Is that how this went? You were the one forcing that hang up.
I didn't drop it. That didn't have anything to do with me.
I love it. All right, we have another call in. This is Mike from the Tri-Cities in Washington who wants to know about you going from Boise to the NFL. Mike, how's it going?
Good, Coach. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to call in and just, you know, tell you how happy I am, you know, as a lifelong Bronco fan and a Bucks fan, you know, about all the success, you know, that started at Boise State, you know, that truly started with you, you know, for the last 20 years. So when everybody sees those stats on the games, like, you know, that's on tonight, just let everybody know it all started with you. And I just wanted to, you know, just tell you how happy all our Idaho fans are that, you know, you're doing good. And keep it up, Coach.
Yeah, appreciate that, Mike. I didn't get all that, but, yeah, I mean, I was tickled to death when I had the chance to be the head coach at Boise State and to see the rise of that program. You know, when I left, it was taken over by Dan Hawkins and then by Chris Peterson and now by Brian Harsin, and we're all – you know, we're all tied together. I mean, Hawk was an assistant for me when I went to Boise State. I met Dan Hawkins through Chris Peterson. We were coaching together at Oregon before I went to Boise, and Brian Harsin played quarterback for us at Boise. So it's been really fun to see the number of ex-players that have gone on to coach at Boise State and the success that they've had. It's really been fun to watch, and I'm a Boise State fan, always will be, but you know, pro football's where we're at now, and really just focused on what we're doing here with the Bucks and getting ready for those Vikings.
All right, we got a question from Trevor. He says, Coach, what is the sleep schedule like for a head coach, or do you guys even have that chance?
Yeah, if I can get between 5 and 6 hours, I'm pretty good. So it's early in the season. There's not quite as much film, but as the season goes on, you know, in the NFL, you get every film of every game. So as the season goes on, you're always feeling like you need to watch a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. But, you know, it's not bad. And there's the technology that we have now helps a lot. There's also overkill. I mean, you can drive yourself crazy, you know, trying to play the what-if game. I mean, you definitely have to play the what-if game, but you know, there's a lot of continuity in the league. You know, you've played some of these coaches before. You kind of know their background, and they know ours the same way. But you get a little sleep. The season is routine, and I'm a routine guy. I love the routine. You know, you've got your typical Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Today's a typical Friday. Saturday, Sunday. Everything builds towards Sunday at 1 o'clock or Sunday at 4 o'clock, and it's the most hectic, exciting, thrilling 3 hours you could ever have, and then you rest up and start all over again.
We've got another caller on the line. We have Ward from Brandon who wants to ask about preparing for Case Keenum. Go ahead, Ward.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good to talk with you, Dirk. My question is about Case Keenum. He's been pretty efficient against us, to our dismay. What was he able to do before, and what are we going to do different to make sure that doesn't happen this week?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm sure when word leaked out this afternoon that Sam Bradford was out, I'm sure a lot of people that are Bucs fans anyway were excited about that. But when you think about it, Case Keenum has beat us the last 2 years. He beat us in St. Louis in the Thursday night game 2 years ago, and then he brought the Rams in here last year and got us. And he seems to play his best football against the Bucs. And, you know, I can't give away all of our game plan, but, you know, we feel like we've learned a couple of things, but that's, you know, it's going to be put to the test on Sunday, and we definitely have to do it because he's been completing like 70% of his passes against us, and he's been really good on third down. He didn't have quite as good a day last week against Pittsburgh. I'm sure he'll learn from the mistakes he made against Pittsburgh last week, and I'm sure he'll be improved this week. But yeah, it's going to be a big challenge, and you know, we sure don't want it to be 3-0.
All right, we still have tons more coming up here on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter. Keep sending in all those questions on Twitter. Use the hashtag BucsRadio. You can also submit them on the Bucs app under the feature section or call in as well. We're going to take a short break. This is the Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. Don't go anywhere.
Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications, now continues with head coach Dirk Cutter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is your chance. You get to ask him anything on your mind. There's so many different ways you can send in those questions. We got Twitter, hashtag Bucs Radio. You can also do it in the Bucs app under the feature section. And here are your three phone numbers if you're in Hillsborough County: 813-990-4620, Pinellas 727-461-4620, and toll free 888-546-4620. All right, we got a question from Steve. This one seems like it's going to be pretty fun. If there was one pass player in his prime from the Bucs that you could have on your team right now, who would it be?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Whew. I'm not good at pressure questions like this. boy, Casey, come on now. Help me out here. Who would you go with, Casey?
Who would I go with? I don't know how I like this. I'm the one asking the questions here. I don't know if I like this putting it on me. People don't care about my opinion on it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We can make it not even a Bucs player if you want, just any former NFLer if you want, either way.
Oh, I can't do that. We can't go that route. It's got to be a Bucs player. But,
all right.
I think we probably make it. We go with the three-headed monster of Brooks, Sapp, and Rondé Barber, and we'd even be tougher on defense than we are right now.
Can't go wrong with that one. I like that. I think that no one in the Tampa Bay area will ever argue against that big three-headed monster, like you said. And then we had Will ask us, do you feel like Gerald McCoy even has more he can improve, or is he at his ceiling and the best he can be?
No, I think every player can always get better. And, you know, if you've followed along with the things Gerald said in his press conferences this year, I mean, yeah, Gerald has a list of things that he's working on. You know, Gerald's already one of the top three or four interior linemen in the league. But, you know, Gerald's the type of guy that's always striving to be better. He's been voted to 5 straight Pro Bowls. You know, if you ask every team we play, if you ask their offensive coordinator, you know, what they need to get done that week, they're always going to say, we can't let Gerald McCoy wreck the game in the middle. And, you know, if anybody watches the tape, if you just look at that very first play of the game last week against Chicago, I mean, Gerald took that left guard and launched him back about 5 feet into the backfield, and that you know, no quarterback wants to see that. So even though I think Gerald is a terrific player, I think all players can still improve until they hit a certain point where their bodies won't allow it. But I watch Gerald work every day. I watch him in the weight room, and I don't think he's at that point.
James wanted to know, I've heard a lot of people saying that they should ask Jameis about Dalvin Cook for some insight. How much value is there in asking a former teammate about someone as compared to just scouting the normal way?
Yeah, there's value in both. And, of course there's value. I mean, I ask players from time to time about guys that they played with in college and did so this week, you know. So just because we don't come out and publicize everything doesn't mean that we didn't do it. And, I'm pretty sure that people on the on our defensive side of the ball and defensive coaches were asking, you know, not only Jameis, but JV and Elliott and Bobo Wilson as well. We're also teammates of Cook's at Florida State.
Tyler wants to know, how challenging is it to prepare for two different quarterbacks all week, not knowing until today for sure which one would play?
Yeah, I think that depends on the team. And, you know, some teams, if their quarterbacks were totally different styles, if, say one quarterback was strictly a pocket guy and another guy was more mobile, I think, like, if you thought they were going to change their system. But the Vikings, they didn't really change their system that much from week one to week two when they switched quarterbacks. Pat Shurmur, their offensive coordinator, he's been around a long time. He's an exceptional offensive coach. And the last couple years before coming, he's been with Norv Turner. He's been with Chip Kelly. He has added, you see a little Chip Kelly influence in there, some zone read stuff, especially out of the shotgun. But I think in this particular case, Minnesota's a team that's going to run their system regardless of which quarterback plays.
That's interesting. We actually had a question sort of like that where Kevin wanted to know how much of preparing is your game plan and how much is it preparing for their game plan?
Yeah, that's a really good question too. And I think again, the answer is both. I think, you know, you're always trying to take away something from the opponent. You know, you're trying to take away one of their best things. And, you know, you never want a team to beat you with their best player. Now, there's some fantastic players in this league. It's easier said than done. And then at the same time, you also want to make them adjust to what you do well. You know, the things that we do well on both sides of the ball, you know, you're trying to make them stop it. So, you know, it's a mixture, and it's not always a 50-50 split. I think that split kind of depends on who the opponent is.
All right, we've got another caller on the line. Matt from Tampa has some questions about the O-line protections. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Coach, I actually spoke with you last week, and you told me my friend owed me a beer because I said that Ali Marpet was the answer at center. They actually told me that my beer choice is too snooty. So I just say I have good taste. But I wanted to bring up, Coach, everybody all week was saying, seemed like the theme of the press conferences was about Jameis calming down and being more calm. But in my opinion, I think it's that the front end of that pocket with Sweezy and Marpet was just, I mean, it was just like a brick wall. And he had all the time in the world to be able to step into his throws. And I think I'd be calm under that situation as well. But I'll hang up and listen. Go Bucks.
Yeah. Well, I think we always do a thing after every game on offense, defense, special teams, and we say, okay, what did we do well in this game? What did we do poorly in this game? And offensively, at the top of our list coming out of the Bears game was pass protection. Other than a couple plays, we had excellent pass protection from everybody. I mean, there was a couple of minor foul ups, but protection was one of our best things. And I think having Ali in the center of that line, you could definitely see that, the depth of the pocket, he helped create that depth of the pocket. Of course, your tackles create the width of the pocket. And I don't think there's any doubt that Ali played a role in that. That whole thing about Jameis, whether he was more calm, not more calm. I mean, Jameis did what he had to do for that particular game. You know, we're going to need more from Jameis in other games. We're not going to get a 26-0 lead every week in the first half. And trust me, Jameis, when it's time to deliver, Jameis is ready to deliver. And I have no doubt that when we need Jameis to take more risks than we took against Chicago, then he'll answer the bell on that.
Let's go to another caller. Eric in St. Pete wants to talk about comparing the Bucs to some other top teams. Go ahead, Eric.
How you doing, Coach? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, my question is I believe that the Bucs are going to make the playoffs this year. We've got the talent. We've also got the depth that you guys have put together with these players on the team. Making sure if everybody's not injured and everybody's healthy and we make the playoffs, how do you compare our team to the rest of the elite teams in the league?
Well, that's an excellent question, Eric. And the answer is I don't. Okay, I don't, because it doesn't matter what I think right now. The only thing that matters how we compare against right now is how we compare against the Vikings. And then next week it'll only matter how we compare against the Giants. You know, that it's awesome that the fans are talking about that. You got fantasy football, you got all these shows on TV, and it's way, 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 way too early for anybody about the Bucs to be talking about the playoffs. I mean, you can't think like that, because you just don't know what's going to happen week to week. We got to just stay focused on what's right in front of us right now. And then, you know, as the season goes on, you got to stack one on top of another and stack another one, stack another one, stack another one. At the end of the season, or when it gets, you know, later, we're going to get more into divisional play after the halfway point in the season. You know, that becomes a little bit more important down the road, but still, who am I to say? I don't watch every team play. I spend all my time this week watching the Vikings. So, I mean, I don't know how good the Chiefs are or how good they're. Heck, the Rams look really good. I watched about a quarter of that game last night. The Rams look great. I don't know where they rank in the 32 teams.
All right, we got a question here from Ryan. He says, looking at a little bit longer injury report than I know you guys would like, everyone just says the next man up, but how do you as a coach make sure that next man up is as prepared as possible?
Yeah, that's what we spend all of our time on during the week, and that's what you have training camp for. That's what you have OTAs for, and the assistant coaches are constantly meeting with and training these guys, but – You've all seen it. If you followed pro football, you know, if you get beat up at a certain position, you might have to bring a guy in off the street and he might have to play that week. It's not like college football where you have 115 guys on your roster. You know, you've got your 53 and then you've got your 10 on the practice squad. And if, you know, last year we got beat up pretty good at defensive end and we got beat up pretty good at halfback. And look what happened when that came about last year. We ended up bringing in Ryan Russell, who was let go by Dallas, and Ryan Russell is doing great for us right now at defensive end. We're glad we have him, and we brought in Jacquizz Rodgers, and he's starting at halfback for us. So you would love, in a perfect world, you would love to stay healthy all year, but it's a pipe dream that's going to happen. And I think we've said before, the only one team in the NFL, the Falcons, had the same five starters on the O-line for all 16 games last year. So, you know, it's during the week, you're shuffling, you're saying, okay, if this guy can't go, we got to move this guy over here, and this guy now becomes the backup here. This guy's got to go in on the punt team. That's what we're working on all the time, and that's why even though we only practice on the field for a couple hours every day, you got to remember the players are in meetings for 4 or 5 hours every day. And you're going over a lot of the stuff in meetings, you're going over the stuff in walkthroughs, and then taking it to the practice field, and we see what we got on Sundays.
Brian wants to know, who was your favorite NFL player and team growing up?
Johnny Unitas. Johnny Unitas. I was a huge Johnny Unitas fan.
That's awesome. What about a team? Was it his team, or was there another team?
Yep. I got to go with the Colts, the old Baltimore Colts. That was way back. That just shows how old I am.
Do you ever find yourself accidentally calling them that?
No, but the not saying the San Diego Chargers, that's a hard one.
That is definitely a hard one. Yeah, the Los Angeles Rams on that screen last night looked really weird still, too. Tim says, against the Bears, I noticed a play where Jameis looked like he was trying to make something happen, even though he was being heavily pressured. What does it say about Jameis's progression that he took the sack instead of forcing an errant throw?
Yeah, that we had two sacks last week, and on that particular play, it was a coverage sack. I mean, they covered us pretty good, and I thought, you know, we had a big lead at that point. I thought Jameis did a good job. Sometimes you just got to eat the ball and cut our losses. I mean, in that situation when we were up by three plus scores, taking a sack and punting the ball away is way better than, you know, turning it over and giving them a pick six like they gave us. I mean, that's I thought that was a smart play by Jameis. I mean, it doesn't look pretty at the time, but it's the right thing to do, and that was a good move by Jameis on that play.
Justin says, McCoy was another game wrecker with 9 QB pressures in week 2. What in general will he and this defense have to focus on to stop a very productive running offense like the Vikings?
Yeah, anytime you know, your whole run defense is based on gap control. Everybody's assigned to a gap, and controlling your gap, and then getting off blocks and making tackles, and, you know, not allowing the running back to break tackles. So, you know, Gerald usually occupies two blockers. He almost always protects his gap, and then even though he's got two guys blocking him, he's really good at disengaging from those blockers and making tackles. So, when you're a three technique, you are primarily responsible for the B gap, sometimes for the A gap. So the A gap is right between the guard and the center. The B gap is between the guard and the tackle. But if Gerald's occupying two blockers, then that's what frees up your linebackers. That's what frees up the Levante Davids and Quan Alexanders to roam and make their plays.
Eric says, you guys are going to be playing for the first time in the Vikings' new stadium. Does that ever have any effect on the players or coaches, or do you guys even notice where you're playing once the game starts?
No, we talked about that actually today in our team meeting. Usually when you're going to a newer stadium, there's a few guys on your team that have played in that stadium, but we put a picture up of the Vikings' new stadium today in our team meeting. And I asked how many guys had played there. Not one person, player or coach, in the room raised their hand. So for every person traveling with our group this week, it'll be their first time. And, you know, people that I know that have been there say it's a fantastic stadium. We know it's a loud stadium. Most domes are. And I think everybody, you know, you get to the stadium nice and early. You go out there and you do your oohing and on. Hey, this is cool. This is cool. But once you get locked in and get ready for the game, and once the game is kicked off, I don't think you really notice that kind of stuff. You're just playing football.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm going to remind you all the ways you can submit those questions for Coach on Twitter, hashtag Bucks Radio, on the Bucks app under the feature section. And here are your phone numbers. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. Buccaneers Total Access with Head Coach Dirk Cutter. Brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications with head coach Dirk Cutter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. We are still taking all of your questions. You can send them in on Twitter, use that hashtag Bucks Radio, or submit them under the Bucks app, and you know the numbers to call by now. We have a question from Edgar who says, what is the status of Devontae Bond, and if he plays, will you see him getting more playing time along with Glanton?
Yeah, it's been a long road for Devontae Bond. You know, the kid has worked his tail off, and more than one time he's been right there ready to get on the field, and then injuries have set him back. But I'm happy to report that he's cleared to play now. He practiced this week. He did a good job, and, you know, we're excited about getting him out on the field. You know, just like we said about Jaquez Smith last week, you know, you don't come right out of rehab and go out there and start playing NFL football without being a little bit rusty. But Devontae is very close, and you know, we like him a lot. He's going to give us even more depth at linebacker than we already had, and I think he's going to really contribute on special teams. So, you know, if it's not this week when he gets his opportunity, it's probably coming before too long.
Danny wants to know, when you're up by as much as you were at halftime of the Chicago game, do you either want to hold back some of your offense to not give things away, or maybe even try some plays that you're not sure of in, when it's a not as much of a pressure situation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You're not trying any plays that you're unsure of. You know, when you're up like that, the NFL is – anything can happen. You just can't, you know, we talked at halftime of that game. Don't take anything for granted. I mean, the last thing you want to do is go out there and, you know, feel like you've got the game all sewn up. And then, you know, they start coming back on you and you're hanging on to your rear end in the fourth quarter. And a perfect example of that is the Super Bowl last year. You know, Atlanta was way up on New England and they came back. So, you know, you try to play the same exact way you did in the first half. It's just human nature as a play caller to be a little bit more conservative. You just can't help it. And I know, trust me, I know from all the comments that, you know, people think we get way too conservative, but easier said than done is all I would say to that. But you're not experimenting, believe me. The NFL is not preseason. Preseason is experimentation. But when you're in real games in the NFL, you're not fooling around. You're figuring out, you know, what's the best thing to help us win this game.
We've got a call from John in Pensacola, who apparently has a question about reality TV. Go ahead, John.
How's it going, Coach? Hi, Casey. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going? So I know, first off, Hard Knocks will be number one on the list. But like Casey had on Casey's Corner recently, what would be the reality TV show you'd like to be on, Coach?
you know, I don't know that I'd be good on any reality shows. Yeah, I don't. Boy, when you guys ask me questions like this, I'm so out of touch with stuff like that. I'm horrible at that. So, Casey, what one would you like to be on?
Well, I'll tell you some of the ones that the players said that I know I wouldn't. I'm kind of with you, Coach. I don't know about a lot of them. I definitely know the ones I wouldn't. They were talking about Fear Factor, for one, and I know that I am way too big a wuss for all of that. The Amazing Race, I think, would be pretty awesome. That was one Donovan and Allie said they wanted to be on together. So that seemed like a pretty good one, I thought. And some of the other ones, I know the entire O-line ended up saying they wanted to be on Family Feud, which I think would probably be one of the more entertaining segments of that show ever seen.
Yeah, that would be good. You know, I tuned into a couple episodes last year in the off season of Survivor 96 because former Buck Brad Culpepper was on there, and I heard somebody talking about it, so I tuned in for that. And you know, if I could get his cut up after not eating food for 31 days like he did, maybe that one, but I just don't know if I'm tough enough to do it.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty rough diet. It seems like a little more than necessary. I mean, maybe the whole Cutter family can do a Family Feud. That seems like that could go pretty well.
Yeah, no, I think I'd stick with the O-line. I think they'd do the best on there.
I agree. They would definitely be pretty entertaining. All right, we got another caller. Tommy from New Jersey wants to talk about the punt recovery against the Bears last week. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, Coach. How you doing? It's Tommy. How you been?
What's up, Tommy? Hey, thanks for those shirts you sent, man. Those were awesome.
No, I got your card. That was awesome. You took time to, you know, send me a little card. It meant a lot.
You're a great fan, man. You're a heck of a fan. We appreciate fans like you, and really appreciate what you do.
Well, it's a pleasure coming down to the games. I was up there when we had that fourth down, and I seen you were punting, and you heard some booing. And I said, you turned that kick into a fumble recovery. Did you like that play?
Yeah, I know. People, they get, you know, if you remember, we had that time, leading into that play, we had third and one. I mean, my philosophy on that is, if you can't make it on third and one, why do we think we're going to make it on fourth and one? I mean, we just had third and one. We didn't make it. So we punted, and that was a heck of a play first off, by Ryan Smith, when Cohen picked that ball up, can you imagine the strength in your hand and wrist it took to just yank that ball out? And then there was Cam Lynch, Johnny on the spot to get the fumble. That was the turning point in the Bears game. I mean, that was the one that opened up the floodgates. And that's why, you know, we're always talking about offense and defense, but special teams, you know, Nate Katzer, Carlos Polk, our special teams coaches, and their core guys, led by our captain, Josh Robinson, our punter, Brian Anger, our kicker, Nick Folk, long snapper, Garrett Sanborn. I mean, those guys, they play a lot bigger role than you think.
All right, I've got a question from Brandon here, and he wants to know, why don't we tend to see Jameis doing a QB sneak with inches or 1 yard to go?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and that question has come up more than once, and, you know, it's not that we haven't thought of it. You know, it just seems to me, being around it for a long time, that, you know, some quarterbacks are really good at quarterback sneaks and really have a knack for it, and others not so much. And we've just chosen to put the ball in the hands of the professional runners. Now, you know, we didn't make that third and one, so, you know, it's easy to say, hey, what about that? You didn't make that third and one. Yeah, we didn't make it, and that's on me. But, you know, we have to live and die with the decisions we make, and, you know, that's just one of those ones. I'm sorry, we're not going to always please everybody, and that's, you know, we have reasoning that we at least think is sound reasoning behind it. It doesn't always work out perfect, but you know, I'm going to always stand up for the players. I'm going to always back them. That you know, anything we do, play calling always comes from me, and you know, I'll always stand behind it.
Aaron wants to know, other than the actual outcome of the game, what is your favorite and least favorite moments of game day?
Well, that's a great one right there. My least favorite moment is the waiting. You know, we get there before the game, and, you know, I'm not someone that gets nervous that much, but, you know, the time leading right up to the game when you're just waiting and the fans are there and you can hear the music on, and the waiting is the worst part. And other than the game itself, I get goosebumps 100% of the time when they're playing that national anthem. I mean, the national anthem, and sometimes you have a flyover. I love seeing the different people that, you know, we've had some choirs out there singing, some groups, we've had some soloists, but I don't know, there's something about it. Ever since I was a little kid, you know, going to my dad's high school games, and, you know, when I was fortunate enough to play a little bit in high school and in college, and the NFL, I mean, that national anthem always gets me going.
I like that. That's awesome. Bobby wants to know, did you feel different this last Sunday as compared to last year as your first game as a head coach?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I was probably equally, you know, the nerves for me, I can't speak for the players, but the nerves for me are the highest right before the game. I mean, I'm not a nervous person. I am a little bit of a worrier, but, you know, just right before the game, your heart's beating, your palms are sweaty. Once the game kicks off, you're working, all right? And been doing that for a long time, 30-something years. So, you know, you're working at that point. But I think I was the same. The greatest thing is we have so many players back and the entire coaching staff back. So the familiarity with our guys, and we've got a lot of good guys that know how to work together. They know what we expect. So, you know, it's not going to be a perfect season, probably. I hope it is, but it probably won't be. You know, there's going to be ups and downs, but I'm confident that we're going to be able to answer the bell and put our best foot forward most weeks.
We've got another caller on the line. We have Dan from St. Pete, who is definitely living up to the all-access name of the show and has a question about your glasses, apparently.
Hey, Coach Cutter. Hey, Coach Cutter, how are you?
Hey, Dan.
I've got probably the silliest question anybody's ever asked you before. My wife and I are curious why, during the course of a game, your eyeglasses hang over your nose. We're just curious about that. We think it's kind of humorous, but I'm sure you have a good reason.
Yeah, because they're cheaters, all right? They're cheaters. I just need glasses to see my play sheet, and you know, I can see far away fine, but that play sheet, even though I've got the gigantic blown up version of the play sheet, I can't see it without a little magnification. So, you know, when I wear clear glasses, I got a little magnification, the cheater, the lower half, and same thing in my sunglasses. So, you know, that's the only reason. It does look a little goofy. I do look pretty goofy out there.
All right. Doug wants to know, you talked about having scouts in Minnesota week one. Did they confirm how loud it is there, or and do they bring a decibel meter?
Well, they don't bring a decibel meter, but what they do is they compare it to other stadiums. You know, like scouts will come back and say, hey, this is every bit as loud as Dallas was at Dallas last year, or every bit as loud as when we play the Saints, or, you know, the Saints, the Falcons, home stadiums. We played in Dallas last year in a Sunday night game. So they compare it to that. And, you know, once you reach a certain level of loudness, it's all pretty loud. I mean, Kansas City was loud last year. Every place on the road, for the most part, is loud. I mean, the only place that probably wasn't loud on the road last year was San Diego, and that's because I think we had more Bucks fans than we did Charger fans last year. That game, that was awesome.
That was pretty awesome. I do remember that. Mike wants to know, which Bucks players do you think would make good coaches someday?
I think a lot of them would make good coaches. You know, if they chose to go that route, I think Jameis would be an excellent coach. If you just watch the footage of Jameis working at his camps, I mean, I think he would be good. I think Luke Stocker would be a really good coach. I think Keith Tandy would be a really good coach. You know, those are three. Evan Smith on the offensive line, he would be a really good coach, but his players would hate him because he would talk so much they would get sick of it. No, I'm just kidding. Evan would be a really good coach. Clinton McDonald would be a good coach if he chose to go that route. So, you know, fortunate for these guys, they're good enough players and they make enough money, they don't have to be coaches.
That's true. All right, we still have one more segment coming up here. Last chance to get those questions into Coach before the game this weekend. Hashtag Bucks Radio on Twitter, on the Bucks app, or you can call in. We're going to take a quick break. Buccaneers Total Access with Head Coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Head Coach Dirk Cutter now continues, brought to you by Frontier Communications on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucks coverage.
Welcome back in. Casey Phillips here, and we are going to continue talking with Dirk Cutter in this final segment we have. This is it, the last chance to get those questions into him. Use that hashtag Bucks Radio on Twitter or send him in the Bucks app or call in. We had Brittany say, hey, Dirk, my mom and I are flying up to the game. What is your favorite stadium besides Ray J?
Well, it's going to be Minnesota this week. That's for sure. that's a hard one. I mean, that the Dallas Stadium, of course, is really cool. Looking forward to seeing that new Atlanta Stadium this year. Kansas City was awesome last year. Seattle, I've never won in Seattle. That place is rough. There's a lot of good ones. I mean, they're all NFL stadiums and NFL fans. I mean, they're all cool places to go.
All right, we have a question here. This might break your rule, though, Coach. His name on Twitter is The Boogeyman, and I know how you feel about not using real names, but the question is so good that I think you should make an exception. Are you all right with that, making one little exception here?
Let me hear the question first.
And then you'll decide. Yeah, see, I knew that was coming. Smart man. All right, do you have any pregame rituals that you do for luck?
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of stupid ones. They're all based on if we're winning or losing, you know, how we did it. If we're winning, keep doing the same thing. If you're losing, change it up. You know, what color shirt I wear in pregame. Just all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And I've always been like that. I'm sure there's nothing to it, but I don't know. It's something that you do.
You're sure, but you're not quite sure enough to not do it. So just the fail safe, just in case. It sounds like maybe even the shirt color, you're going a little Tiger Woods, you know, the red shirt on Sundays.
Well, like I said, the time leading up to the game is the most, you know, that's the time when you don't, you just feel like you're you just can't wait for the game to start. So you need something to pass the time.
I like that. Will wants to know, has depth contributed to special teams success, or was it quick development and learning from young players?
Both. It was both of those things. You know, you take a guy like, you got to know him a little bit on Hard Knocks, a guy like Cam Lynch. I mean, we picked Cam Lynch up. He got cut by the Rams last year, and he primarily played special teams for us last year. Well, now he's a veteran in what Coach Katzer and Coach Polk are asking him to do on special teams. So, you know, now instead of a guy that was just scrambling to learn what he was doing, he's a leader out there. Same thing with Josh Robinson. You know, we have so much depth that Keith Tandy and Chris Connie don't even have to play on special teams as much as they used to, and they're both really good special teams players. You know, Ryan Smith, there's another guy that made a little bit of a name for himself. Alan Cross, another guy. And then when you look at the new guys coming in, of course, Kendall Beckwith is a guy that fits in that category, as does Chris Godwin, guys that were playing on special teams. So, yeah, it's a mixture. And, you know, you don't want your special teams to just be all new guys and guys that you're, you know, we saw last week on that punt. And then Bernard Reed got an explosive on a punt return. I mean, you can make some huge impact plays. Shoot, the biggest – you can make an argument that the biggest free agent we signed last year was Brian Anger. He came in and made a huge difference in our team.
That's very true. All right, we got another caller. Jamie from St. Pete has a question about scheme. Go ahead, Jamie.
Good afternoon, Casey and Coach. First off, Coach, I want to thank you for doing this show. I think it speak for a lot of Bucks fans, just – appreciate you being able to take calls and questions over the air. I think that's awesome.
Appreciate it. Hope you're still staying at if we ever lose a game.
Oh no, I've been a Bucks fan for life. So yeah, through thick and thin. I'm not a bandwagoner, that's for sure. All right. So what my question was is, now we knew that the Tampa 2 was created by Tony Dungy and everything, and a lot of teams did try to copy that, but they just didn't have the right personnel, knowing that's a very disciplined system that you have to stay within. So my question is, you devising the offensive scheme, is it more of like you creating the scheme and having your guys learn it, or do you look at the strengths and weaknesses of your – or more like on the strengths of your players and then devising a scheme through that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And what we just have is you have to have a system, you know, whether you're using words or whether you're using numbers, and we use both, you just have to have a system that's flexible enough to allow you to play to the player's strengths. That's my opinion. So the second part of your question is what we try to do. We try to have a system that's flexible enough that we can move whichever direction we need to play not only to the strengths we have and hide our weaknesses, but, you know, our strengths here in the second game of the season might be a lot different 12 weeks from now, you know, based on injuries or, you know, a certain player gets hot or, you know, whatever the case may be. So we just think – I just don't think you can take an offensive system – that you're saying we're going to run these plays no matter what because we like these plays. I think you got to be flexible and you got to adapt to your players. And, you know, a good example of that is last year after Vincent Jackson got hurt, we started moving Mike Evans around. You know, he was not just playing the X receiver. He was playing X and Z. He was sometimes in the slot. And, you know, he was our best option, and we had some nice complimentary pieces, but Mike was still our best option. And he ended up leading the league in targets, and, you know, Mike had a terrific year. So that's just an example, and that's just one thing we believe. I mean, there's other teams that might do it different, but that's just the way we look at it.
All right, that's awesome. Coach, thank you so much for joining us and taking the time out. I know you got a crazy schedule all week. Like you said, it's a crazy routine, so we appreciate that an hour every week you take the time to be with us. Thanks to all of you for sending in your questions and spending the time with us. We'll see you back on Monday to have a player on as well. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.